Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration from the Center for Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
We enter into the peace that abides within. We detach ourselves from all the noise around us. There's a beautiful song that says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know." So when we can find that still point within ourselves, we are free. On February 29th, that beautiful, magical day, my Zen calendar said, we sit at the center of the circle in peace, while yes and no run around the circumference chasing each other. So we get to choose, are we going to be the yes and no running around the circumference of life? Or are we going to choose to place our attention at the center of the circle where peace abides? We can say, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still. Be. Month of March, I'm going to explore the salient idea, the art of being. And in that expanded idea, we listen to catch the hints. Because life is always offering us these beautiful messages. Beloved Pam and I had a chat last night, serendipitously, where we talked about healing versus transformation. And we are a healing teaching, but yet we are a transformational teaching. So could we be willing to be transformed by the renewing of our awareness? Next Sunday, I'm going to speak about resolve to evolve. And when I choose an idea, the idea begins to work on me from within. And so if we set our intention to enter into this transformational teaching with a willingness to be renewed, refreshed, reawakened, well, then life is always fresh and every moment is rich with possibility and potential. And then we say, this is the moment the Lord has made. Could I rejoice and be glad in it? And so gratitude begins to awaken. A sense of joy begins to flow because this renewing transformation is happening within us and all around us. So could we offer our good intentions and our attention to this experience of transformation, knowing that we make a commitment to renew, and we enter into practices that support that renewal, well, then life surprises us, huh, in beautiful ways. So you've chosen to be here this Sunday morning to step into that vortex with me, that vortex of transformation, where we see things with fresh eyes, where we discover that, as Jesus said, be like a child if you would enter this transformational vortex. And what does a child have? A child has playfulness. It has a sense of wonder. It doesn't want answers. It wants to play within the mystery. And so we enter into this mystery of realization, where that magical part of ourselves is holding our hand and holding our heart. This Sunday, I'm going to play with a simple idea that you are God's seedling. How glorious is that? I'm a gardener. I plant seeds. And if the seeds are tended and nurtured, and if the soil has been prepared, the soil being your consciousness, well, then those seeds of empowerment, those seeds of truth, those seeds of transformation can begin to put down roots. And then they begin to find within that seed the potential to express itself in divine ways. And we say, yes, we witness you. And so we stand at the threshold of a new life, God's life. And we say, yes, 1,000 times yes. This seedling belongs to you. Let it express and flower and bear fruit in wonderful ways that we can't even conjure up with the mind. Ways that are so transformative that the universe is behind it, and divine love is assisting us in assuming the consciousness that's required. And once all that's left of us is love, well, let us give that love away, because it isn't our love, it's divine love, and it's on a rampage, and we are the way it works. Hallelujah. And so it is. So that's a gardener planting a seed, seeing how it will grow within us. But the only requirement that you need to do is provide the garden, the space in which it can happen. I think it was Meister Eckhart that said, if an acorn becomes an oak tree and a pear seed becomes a pear tree, well, a God seed becomes a God. Now, what if we could be humble enough to know that that seed has been planted within all creation? It's not unique to each one of us. No, it's, and then you move from that wonderful book, The Story of Gaia, by that PhD in quantum mechanics over there in Oxford, England. She says, then you move from the me to the we, and ultimately to the all, that it's all you, that they're all our children. I came in early because it's Breaking Bread Sunday, and I went to get a drink of water, and there was this lovely little cockroach at the foot of the water cooler. And I tried to get a cup and to pick him up, but he definitely wouldn't get in the cup, and he ran under the water cooler. Well, I made peace with the little bug, knowing that if I'm going to talk oneness, I can't run around trying to stomp him out with my little foot. So if you should get surprised by a little black thing while in front of you, say, you can say, this too is good, this too is God, and I'll get Sylvia to remove him. No. Outside and play. We were having our class, and Paula, beloved Paula, she went over there, and when the bug was walking across the carpet, she scooped it up, and she went out, and she let it out. You know, those little moments, they may seem insignificant, but they're powerful moments. They're recognition moments. I went home from my class last Wednesday, and I went into the garage and parked the car, and then I went out because it was cold that night, so I was gathering some firewood for the fire, and in the garage was a hawk. And this was a big hawk, and he was flying around the garage, and I'm going like this, and he finally flew out of the garage, and my car was covered in feathers. When I went to get the food out of the car to say, I opened the door, and there were feathers on the floor of the car. I hope you don't get any feathers in your carrot cake. But it was in a case. What are you going to do? And then Trey came running up. You know, he went into the garage to bring some trash out. He says, David, your car's covered with feathers. I said, I know. It was a hawk. And he said, where there's a hawk, there's got to be a body. And I said, if you think that way, why don't you go look for the body? Well, there was no body. It was just one of those moments in life where we got to see, are we going to be afraid of what life brings you, or are you going to meet it with equanimity? Whether it's a little bug or a hawk in the garage, it's just life. My beloved neighbor, the one across the street, when Adam brings in these beautiful flowers, we had our board meeting a couple weeks ago, and he brought in these roses. And I said, well, you put one in the car after the meeting. And when I came home, it was right near Valentine's Day. I think it was day after Valentine's Day. The lady across the street whose husband passed got drowned at Lake Gunnersville. She's still grieving his loss. I went over and brought her those roses. Oh, you thought I'd given her $1 million. She fell into my arms, and she's still having this issue with him dying. And I said, you know, his love is still with you. And then she said, can I come to your church some Sunday? Will you take me? So I'm giving you a heads up. I'm going to be bringing her. Her name is Myra, M-A-Y-R-A. And she doesn't speak much English, but she's got this big open heart. And she's needing a spiritual family. And she knows I'm strange as all get out, and so she wants to come here. And so, so don't be surprised if you see that beautiful soul here one Sunday. And Rumi says we're here to walk each other home. And last night I prayed to get inspired by the universe. I was talking to my prayer partner, and he was talking about the new curriculum for Centers for Spiritual Living, and it's way back in that mental science thing: change your thinking, change your life. And maybe I did that when I was 30 or 40, but at 75, I don't believe in that, change your thinking. Because when we move out of thought, we move into this field of awareness. And as Richard Rohr says, when you change the one that you identify as, well, then your thoughts change anyway. So when you stop making it about me and me wanting to change the world out here by having a spiritual mind treatment, the Zen calendar right after the one about running around saying yes or no, the day after that it says, people want to change the world, but they don't want to change themselves. When you change yourself, you begin to see the world in a different way. We have a poster in the bookstore that says, when I change the way I look at things, the things I look at change. My prayer partner, he's doing a sermon up there in Vancouver today, and I said, what's your talk? And he said, do you really believe that? I said, that's the talk you're going to speak about? He says, so many people have this old-fashioned God. You know, this God that has rules, the old Jehovah in the sky. And I told him about Terry Hartman, this lady who said when she was a first grader in the Baptist church and in Sunday school, they told her the story of Noah and the ark and how, you know, God was so angry at humanity that he destroyed everything. He saved the animals two by two, and Noah had his little family on this ark. And when they finally landed after 40 days and 40 nights of rain, and they landed and he sent out the dove and it came back with a little branch. And then Jehovah blessed that little small family by giving us a rainbow. And Terry Hartman, in her first grade Baptist classroom, she says, I'm not going to pray to a God who'll kill everybody and give us a rainbow. Well, her parents said, you know what's going to happen to you, young lady. And she looked at her mom and she looked at her dad. And I said to her, you were my child. And you got into that family by accident. I'm very clear. Do you believe in this angry God that will kill people because they disagree with who you are? Or do you have a loving presence? And then someone sent me this beautiful video of Carl Jung, who talked about the shadow side of God. And you have that angry Jehovah who's out there doing all this stuff, condemning people. I'm not going to take that personally. And Carl Jung says at the end of that beautiful presentation, if you bring in Sophia, the divine feminine, well, then you have that feminine aspect of God. And you know, the soul is androgynous. We have both masculine and feminine traits. So there's a divine feminine in me and a divine masculine. In Taoism, that's the black and the white. The masculine is called the yang energy, or yang, as they would say in China, yang energy. And our culture is very yang. We're out there achieving and getting and doing, you know, number one, make America great. That's yang, yang. The yin energy is I surrender, I let go, I trust. It's not about me. How can I serve? So could we have a healthy yin and a healthy yang energy and bring them together and see how that looks? It's just a game, this being human. One of my teachers that I love so dearly is Gangaji. I'll show you her beautiful face. You can see the light shining. And I did satsangs with her for maybe 20 years. And this is a book called You Are That. In Sanskrit, it's Tatwam Asi. What you are is that very presence of the awakened one. But we don't identify with that. We identify with a little self. You know, my teacher, Emerson, he says it's only our finite self that wails and suffers. So many of us identify with that finite self. Simultaneously, there's this infinite presence that lies stretched in smiling repose. You know, I get up on Sunday mornings early to kind of work some thoughts out for this. And I got up at 5 this morning, and my sweet husband got up at 6. And he said, I'll be so glad when you're done with this so I can sleep into 7 o'clock. I said, you can sleep until 7. You don't have to get up. Yes, I do. Because he takes my karma as his karma. Just saying. Anyway, you are that. And Gangaji says so beautifully in this. Let me get a little. Right near the end of the book. I'm going to get you feel for her soul. So she says, in this moment, discover within yourself an abiding peace, which has nowhere to go. It is forever unborn, and yet all that is born of it. And then you hear Jesus. There is a peace that passes all understanding. Seek that peace. It's in the kingdom of heaven, which is a consciousness of oneness. It's within us, and it's all around us. So could we start by entering into that peace? I'm so glad you played that beautiful peace at the beginning of the service while everybody was out there chattering, which is fine. I was sitting in that peace and letting it take me into itself. So could we offer ourselves to this something that's bigger? I woke up in the middle of the night and Rumi was coming through me. And he said, out beyond the ideas of right thinking and wrong thinking, there is a field. And when the soul lies down in that field, words are not necessary. In fact, they get in the way. That's why the peace is so sacred. Even the idea, each other, does not exist. There aren't two here. There's only one. And then he says, I will meet you there. And so as I woke up at 3 a.m, knowing that I'm going to be getting up at 5, and I'm probably waking up my sweet husband, my pug snoring by my side, I'm thinking, okay, it's about the field. Out beyond the ideas of right thinking and wrong thinking. It's not good or bad. It's not right or wrong. That's duplicitous thinking. It just is what it is. There is this field of deepest acceptance. Could we open to that field of deepest acceptance no matter what the universe brings our way? So when the moment arrives and it brings us something that's uncomfortable, this too is good. This too is for God, and I demand to see the blessing. You begin to work with every moment that you're giving. And then when he says, and when the soul lies down in that field, words are not necessary. That's why we have a requirement that we need to be still in order to discover something that doesn't speak to us, but that reveals to us in a language that the soul reveals it. It's kind of a gnosis. It's a knowing that comes from. I remember once saying to Maurice and Vandana when they were here and they had a little son, and I said to the little boy, do you think you love your mama or do you know you love your mama? He says, I know I love my mama. I said, that's the kind of knowing that we need to have around this divine presence. So could we have a direct experience with this divine love? To put our heads into our hearts and then feel our way into this divine feminine that is our true nature, our yin, with our yang. You know, I've got a real strong yang energy. Even as a gay man, my yang was to be first in my class, and I was achieve, get and do, until it, and so what? It didn't get me anywhere, except to a place where I wanted to let it all go and find something that was home. And home was waiting for me. So little back to Gangaji, she says, it is forever unborn, and yet all that is born of it. This is the God seed of our being. So she says, you are not separate from any awakening that has ever occurred. You are not separate from the Buddha's awakening. The Buddha means, it's not about the man, Siddhartha Gautama Siddhartha. No, it's about this presence that awakens within. That's what the Buddha means. So when you take refuge in the Buddha, you're taking refuge in the one that awakens within us. When you take refuge in the Dharma, you're taking refuge in the truth that reveals itself from within. The Greek word for truth, that which unhides itself. So the truth isn't what someone tells you. The truth is what you discover, your own deepest truth. And then you take refuge in probably the most important thing, which is refuge in the Sangha, because we are truly all one. And when I get lost and confused, I can fall into Seamus or fall into Tia or fall into Pam or any one of you and find that sense of belonging. Remember, there's two kinds of people, Einstein said, those who believe there are two and those who don't. Hello. So if there is only one life and we are all sharing this one life, go on. Gangaji says, you're not separate from the Buddha's awakening or Christ's awakening, Ramana's awakening or Punjaji's awakening or any other awakening. It's the same awakening, the same self, awakening to itself, and that was Seamus' beautiful treatment. This self is awakening to itself, crossing all lines of religion. Imagine no religion. There's a song there. Crossing all lines of religion and culture, crossing all boundaries and horizons, crossing all lines of perceived differences and separation. I'm so tired of us seeing other people as different, as less than or more than, and to be threatened by these children crossing the border. You know, I just want to take them in my arms and adopt the whole world. Trey thinks I'm crazy, but, you know, it's the same awakening. Each one of us has some exquisite role to play here, an unknown and mysterious role. Could we open to the mystery of belonging to the universe? We don't need to have answers. We just need to show up for the moment and ask ourselves the question, so what is mine to do here? Who am I to be? Could I practice the art of being loving and compassionate and accepting and forgiving? Each one of us has some exquisite role to play, an unknown mysterious role, and the possibility exists within satsang. That's why we're here, to have a collective experience of the one. Satsang, it's to be inspired and to play the role fully. She used the word play. to play the role fully. Pam has got three beautiful grandchildren. And she came over last night, and we were walking around my garden, and I was showing her my grandchildren. They're all the plants that I grow in the garden. And to play a role fully, we must recognize that any role is just a role, and that who we truly are is beyond all roles. There's more to us than our labels and our titles. We are a spiritual being, and we're having a human experience. So could we let that be what it's going to be in our life? And then notice who's there with you on this journey to nowhere, to now here. Divine love brings together and maintains together in harmony and balance those who belong together. There's several people sharing with me that people they've known in the past have made their transitions. And you know, I'm always asking the universe for a hint. And last night the universe gave me a hint with something on my desk that I hadn't seen in 10 years. And it was a celebration of life service by one of my classmates. He died in 2015 at the age of 87. He was a practitioner emeritus of this teaching. And on the back of his celebration of life service was this little prayer. And it reminded me of my twin sister. And it took me into my committed relationship to my blind and deaf pug. Because, you know, he's a blessing and a curse. Trace sometimes jokingly says, you know, we could put him down and get ourselves two young dogs and we could go for walks on the mountains like we used to. Because now I pick him up, put him down, he falls over. You have to position him when you place him. He falls over. He's gotten so when I feed him, he poops when he eats. So here he's eating his food and the poop comes out. And then Trace says, you need to catch him when he's eating and smack it. Because his way is you train the dog by smacking him. And I said, you know, he can barely stand when he eats. So I said, leave it to me. I'll take care of it. And, you know, it's such an honor to be in service to little Humphrey. It really is. So here's what this beautiful saying is that I'm taking to heart, and I'm going to offer it to you and see if you know of anyone that has made their transition. It says, when all that's left of me is love, give me away. I see my twin sister. She was the most loving human being. And when she was alive, we would rarely speak. We would speak on our birthday, December 2nd. And the last conversation, I didn't make it on my birthday. And I have her on voicemail where she sang happy birthday to me. I've sent a few of you the song of my twin singing. It's so sweet. And at the end of that, she says, I love you, Scott. I'll talk to you soon. Well, we never had that final conversation. So I'll play her little chant to me on my birthday and several times during the year to know that she does love me. And my little sister gave me a collage of photographs of her when we were little kids in the stroller, when she was with her first child. And I see the evolution of my sister to the where at the end she was really compromised. She had the same curl on the forehead. I mean, I know that she was the girl and I was the boy, but we inherited that curl that I find is a blessing or a curse. I'm not sure. Anyway, this is what came up. It says, when I die, give what's left of me away. And if you need to cry, this would be so much my twin. Cry for your brother walking the street beside you. She would literally give you the shirt off her back. She had the kindest heart. And when you need me, put your arms around anyone and give them what you need to give to me. So when I pick up that pug, I get to hug him and say, I'm doing this for my sister, Pat. And I'm holding him in my arms and I'm being gentle with him. And when he falls over in the poop position, I pick him back up and I want to leave you something. In this prayer, something better than words or sounds. Look for me in the people that I've known and loved. I sent this little thing to my nephew and niece up there in Alaska, and they both texted me right back, said, oh, Mom's with us all the time. He said, I went for a walk on the mountain, and there she was walking and talking beside me. I miss her laughter so much. I mean, this is the potential. We could be closer in death than we were in life. So look for me in the people that I've known and loved, and if you cannot give me away, at least let me live in your eyes. Okay, I'm going to look at you with my sister's eyes. And there's that love look that she would give. She called me her womb mate. And so, look for me in your eyes and not only in your mind. The mind wants to sit there and process, you know, get out of the mind for just a little bit and move into your heart and realize that she's always there. Wanda Gale said to me when my mother had the massive heart attack, and it was a Sunday morning. It's always a Sunday morning. I'm walking right down here. She's sitting where Gigi is, and she said, you won't understand this now, but you'll be closer to your mother in death than you were in life. And I thought, what kind of a thing? She hasn't died yet, you know. She had a stroke or a thing. I flew up that day, and 2 days later, I disconnected her. And, you know, Wanda Gale was right. She's always with me. My mother had this gentle way of touching people. And people say, you know, you're too touchy. Well, that's really my mother. She just was always touching people and hugging them. And then she said to me, Scott, people are touch deprived. And so when I would go into the nursing home where she worked at the end of her life, she would take me around to these people compromised in their beds. And she said, just touch them. And so I touched their hand and I'd speak to them. And I could see her whole ministry was one of embracing what's right in front of you. That was my mother. Love doesn't die, she says. People do. So when all that's left of me is love, I can hear my twin saying that, well, then give me away. Give that love away to whoever's. And so I thought, okay, this is how life works. You're not looking for inspiration and it just pops up right there. If you can be attentive. We taught this lovely class, The Grace in Aging, and she kind of summarized the whole class by saying, set your intention on who you're going to be in this life. Are you going to be receptive when the universe is giving you a message like that, that I didn't die, that I'm still here? And then notice where you place your attention. Are you putting your attention on the things that don't work in life? Or are you putting your attentions on the divine, spontaneous, what do you call them, Sylvia? Everyday things? Everyday miracles. Everyday miracles are always happening. Could we open and see that and put our attention on those miracles? And then things she asked in The Grace of Aging, could you make a commitment to live in mindful awareness as we go through these transformations? And commitment comes from that Latin word comitare, which means what is your attention focusing on? Are we focusing on this seedling, this God seedling within our heart flowering as we learn the art of being who we are? And then you hear beautiful Bernie Siegel, be who you is and not who you ain't. And who you is a divine being. But if you is who you ain't, well, then you ain't who you is. And so could I place my attention on this divine something, this self within the self, and let it have its way with me? And then the last thing she said in this Grace in Aging, she says, and then design a practice that's good for your soul. And for me, all of life is a practice. How I do anything is how I do everything. And I've discovered, in a strange sort of accepting life on life's terms, that what's in the way is the way. So if what's in the way is a blind and deaf pug who falls over, well, that is the way for me to be compassionate and patient and pick him up with so much love. And he's my guru. Who would have thought that this little blind and deaf pug would be my guru? And you know, guru, G-U-R-U. He's showing me how to be compassionate with my own failings. I used to be a dancer, could run, and now in the garden I have to have a little assistance getting up and down because my balance isn't what it used to be. My knees aren't what they used to be. My hips aren't what they used to be. And then I hear my mother, oh, Scott, you've got wonderful legs. Be grateful for what you have. Yes, Mom, I know. She always would say, be grateful for what you do have and don't focus on what you don't have. So they all exist within us, teaching us how to be, how to be in life. My beloved Wanda Gale, on my birthday, she gave me this book called The Master Teacher Within, about finding this teacher within ourselves that's waiting for our attention. And at the end of the book, she summarizes, and I think this might be helpful to all of us, to get a greater idea around this thing within us. Here's what he says. The goal of this journey, for all of us, it's about the journey. There's no destination. We don't arrive anywhere except home, where you already are. The goal of this journey is to realize the truth of who you are. We're here to realize who we really are. There is no me. We're part of the we, and we're actually the all moving through us. So discover who you are. You are not the body. You're not the identity that you've believed yourself to be. Rather, you're the love that underlies all of existence. You know, I woke up, I can't sleep at night when the sermon's coming, and I'm back in Minnesota, and I'm 13, and I'm seeing Bye Bye Birdie with Dick Van Dyke, and it was that old movie, I'm 13, and there's a love song, One Love, One Special Love, One Love to Live With, to Die With, to One Love, that's the way it should be. Someday you'll wake up. And you'll find what love is all about. And really, it's never about finding Mr. or Miss Right. It's always been about that one love waking up at 3 a.m. when I'm 13, the message was coming through, but I wasn't catching the hint. Now at 75, I'm getting it. That's what that was all about, Fred. Holy cow. Anyway, you're the love that underlies all of existence. One love. At the essence of all that is, that's what you are. And when you realize this truth, you'll experience a sense of oneness, with a capital O, with everything and everyone. A oneness with that little bug under the water cooler, a oneness with that hawk in the garage, a oneness with your neighbor, a oneness with the one that you can't stand. You're one with it all. And when you realize this truth, you'll experience a sense of oneness with everything and everyone, and you'll know that there is nothing to fear and there's nothing to protect. Wow. Doesn't that feel great? You don't have to be afraid anymore, Miss Mary. There's nothing to be afraid of. And then you hear the acronym for fear, F-E-A-R, forgetting that everything is all right. It's all right. We don't have to be afraid. Nothing to fear or protect. And in this state of realization, James Twyman says, you'll be able to fully embrace the present moment, no matter what it is, and experience the fullness of life and claim that fullness of life. Someone reminded me, I think it was Paula, that I refer to life as juicy. Could you experience the juiciness of every moment? Every moment. We're going to have Breaking Bread Sunday. I can't wait to try your cheese dip. Bob tells me it's wonderful. Release the chains that bind you and embrace the wings that will take you to the heights of your soul's expression. Well, don't you love that metaphor? Release the chains that bind you and embrace the wings that will lift you up to the heights of your soul's expression. Wow. Have you noticed that all of our classes seem to be focused on the soul? We're a soul having a human experience. And if we identify with the human, that finite self that wails and suffers, we're not going to know the depth of this greater something, the soul. The journey may seem daunting, but the rewards are beyond measure. Trust in the love that you are, and let it guide you to the truth that has always been within you. You are God's seedling, waking up to your true nature as divine love. And you're here to put down roots in the truth. You're here to grow effortlessly into this beautiful expression of your soul, and then trust and allow it to express uniquely. I remember when Seamus, the engineer, first came here with his beloved Tia. She had blonde hair then. And he was really a poet in disguise. And every week he would write another poem and he'd hand it to me, and I'd come up here every Sunday. I need some more of your poems. Seamus, there's this artist, this soul of his that was expressing through his poetry. Outside, he's the mild-mannered reporter, but there was a Superman inside who could leap tall buildings with a single bound. So could we see that in each other and call it forth, that beautiful divine presence?
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org.